This is the world broadcast of Mujaddid Wallace Deen Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to truth, justice, and equality. And now we present Mujaddid Wallace Deen Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.
Our honorable radio audience, we greet you with the greetings of all the prophets from Abraham to Muhammad, the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
All praise is due to Allah, the guardian evolver, the keeper, the sustainer of all the worlds. We ask for his guidance. We ask for his mercy and his forgiveness. We ask that he bless us to be a community of Muslims upholding the banner of al-Islam as it was upheld by the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, in this khutbah, I want to talk on faith. And I hope that in talking on faith, some confusion might be cleared up. In the society in which we live and speak in the language that we speak, the common language we speak is English. We have to be very careful of the terms that we use, because a term may mean one thing to me and another thing to you. I've heard people use the word faith to mean different things. Faith, belief. But I've also heard some people use the term faith in a different sense, like inclination or motivation, even desire. And this kind of meaning, if these meanings, if you give it to faith, it will be incorrect. Faith should shape our desires. And the faith should be faith in Allah first, you see? And the faith should shape our desires. Some people confuse faith with impulse. Some people confuse faith with one's own will. So to identify faith, we have to know that faith is a belief, and belief is based on knowledge. Belief is not something taken out of the space there. Belief is based on knowledge. We have faith in that we can trust. What we can trust, we have faith in it. And that trust is an evidence of knowledge. We don't trust things before we have some knowledge of it. We fear many things, and some of us might confuse faith with fear. We fear death. We fear destruction, threat to our personal lives, to our family members, the members of our families, our loved ones. We fear death. We fear violence. We fear a lot of things, you know. But we shouldn't confuse this with faith. Faith is belief, and belief is indication that there is some knowledge. Not all knowledge, but some knowledge. No one has all knowledge except Allah. He is the all-knowing. In fact, Muslims say, the knowledge is not ours, the knowledge is God's. We don't have the knowledge, Allah has the knowledge. You see, this is the Muslim. The Muslim recognizes that the human being has no knowledge except the knowledge that God gave him. And the human being has no power except the power that God gives. So faith, then, is belief. And belief is an indication that there is some knowledge. And when there is such faith, then there is some trust. We have a bit of faith in each other. We trust each other. We have a bit of faith in many things. We trust each other. But my faith in you, is that the faith of Al-Islam? No. I say, oh, I have faith in Brother John. Is that the faith in Al-Islam? No. Brother John may disappoint me. So that's not strong enough in Al-Islam. Faith in Brother John is not strong enough in Al-Islam. The faith has to be stronger than Brother John. You see? And now, let us go back to the Quran now, to the definition of faith in Al-Islam, the Quran. Faith is belief. And belief is an indication of some knowledge. And it requires trust. In fact, whatever you have belief in, trust is automatic. Trust is an automatic occurrence, something that occurs right along with the faith. In fact, faith is almost synonymous with trust, isn't it? Yes, faith and trust are almost synonymous. In fact, they are pretty near to being perfectly synonymous, faith and trust. I have faith in God means I trust God. Although these two words are different in Al-Islam, because the faith is iman, and trust is the word, the verb is tawakkal. You trust God. Tawakkal. Tawakkaltu, I trust God. You see, tawakkaltu, I trust God. So what is the noun form of tawakkal? Is it wakil? No. I don't know right now the noun form of this verb. I don't know. But it means trust too. Trust. That kind of trust means that things will be kept well, that everything will be watched over and kept well. So it's not a belief. So there are two kinds of trust. Of two words for trust and faith in Islamic teachings or Islamic language. We know that the most trustworthy one among the human beings is Prophet Muhammad. And he earned the name Al-Amin before even he was missioned by Almighty God to preach the religion. He earned the name Al-Amin. And Al-Amin means the faithful one. Are the trustworthy one, someone that is worthy of you trusting, worthy of you trusting that person, and worthy of you putting your faith in that person. You can put your faith in that person. So I can say I have faith in Prophet Muhammad, is that right? Yes, I have faith in Prophet Muhammad. But to say I have faith in Brother John wouldn't be correct. Why? Because Allah didn't establish Brother John. You see? Allah established Prophet Muhammad. He is listed among the faith. You see? So we can't say we have faith in Brother John, not in an Islamic language sense. We cannot say that within the context of Islamic definition for faith. But we can say, generally speaking, just generally speaking, as we generally speak, oh yes, I have faith in Brother John. Yes, that's common language. That's in the general sense. But if I want to list the faith of the Muslims, I cannot include Brother John in the list. Is that right? All right. So this is what we want to understand. Faith, iman, faith, belief in God, faith. Over and over again, Allah tells us in the Quran that we Muslims have faith and good works, faith and deeds, faith and good deeds. They are the ones, الَّذِينَ آمِنُوا, those who have faith, who believe, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and they have good works. Faith and good works. We may call it faith and performance. Some people have faith, but no performance. Some people have faith, but no work. Some people have faith, no motivation. They say they have faith, but no motivation. You see? Yes, I believe. But where is the motivation? So the belief is not strong enough, is it? When the belief becomes strong enough, then you have a motivation. The belief motivates you to perform. So the Muslim must develop his faith. He must develop his faith. He must give his mind and his whole life to Allah, to serve Allah. And in giving the whole self to serve Allah, that faith grows. It grows. And whereas in the beginning it might not be weak, it might not be strong enough to motivate you to action. As you get nearer and nearer in obedience and worship of Allah, that faith will get stronger and stronger, and pretty soon it will become strong enough to light up your life, to motivate you, you see. And this is the kind of faith that really counts in Al-Islam. It is that faith that is strong. That faith that is strong enough to light up one's life and motivate the person to action. Motivate the person to action. So faith and performance is what we have to have in Al-Islam. Faith and good work. Faith and performance. Faith without performance is what? A dead letter. A dead letter. It's a dead letter. In Al-Islam, faith is not accepted without works. In Al-Islam, we only accept faith when it's accompanied by works. Good works. Salihad. Salih means righteous. Salih means righteous. Clean. Pure. Salih. God says, Aminu wa amilu salihad. Faith and pure works, righteous works. So if I'm engaging in some impure thing, that's not the right performance. If I'm selling reefers, that's not the right performance. You see? If I'm selling the liquors or beers, that's not the right performance. If I'm selling the pork, that's not the right performance. If I'm practicing lies, that's not the right performance. If I'm hiding things and showing people one face and there's another face that they can't see, that's not the right performance. You got to be straight. You got to be right. Then that's salihat, al-amilu salihat. So the Muslim is one who has faith, and that faith materializes in good works. And the good works are pure works, clean works, works acceptable in the eyes of Almighty God. If the works are not acceptable in the eyes of Almighty God, they are not the correct performance. So we may say then that what is acceptable in the eyes of God has already been spelled out to us in the Quran. The Quran tells us what is acceptable in the eyes of God. So anything you find forbidden in the Quran is unacceptable in the eyes of God. Unacceptable in your life. Unacceptable for you. How can a Muslim learn to do the good works if he doesn't learn the Quran? The Quran is what tells us how to do the good works. The Quran establishes what is salihat. So in order to be the worker that does good work, perform in the right way for God and society, we have to know what Quran says, what the Quran says about the works of the human being, what is acceptable from the human being and what is not acceptable from the human being. Faith and performance. If one confused this term faith, as it was confused here last Sunday, he will say what the Imam said, who was visiting us and making this speech. He said, faith in God, and next is faith in self. That's incorrect. Faith in God is first, faith in his messenger is second, not faith in self. Faith in self, if you say faith in God and faith in myself, who is yourself? Oh, I have faith in myself. Well, who is myself? What is this I call myself? I don't even know what I have faith in. So isn't that kind of vague to tell someone to have faith in self? I think it's pretty confusing. It's vague. Yourself differs from myself. If you have faith in yourself and I have faith in myself, everybody have faith in themselves. What kind of world will we be living in? It'll be a terribly confused world. Now, if we find what is common in all of ourselves and say faith in that, that is common, that is the same for me, you, and everybody else, I say maybe I can listen to that. So if the Imam has said faith in the common essence of all human beings, faith in the common essence of all human beings, that essence that God created, I can agree with him. Although that's still a problem because that's not the way we're supposed to say it. That essence is typified in Prophet Muhammad. So when we say faith in Prophet Muhammad, we are saying faith in the human being. The human being as he should be. We are not all like as we should be. So we have to have one among us that stands for what we all should be. And then we have faith in that one. You see? And faith in that one will motivate us toward being what we all should be. We will get closer and closer to that acceptable model that Almighty God approved. God approved Prophet Muhammad. He is the acceptable model. So we have faith in Prophet Muhammad. And not merely because of his essence, his human essence. That's why I say there's still a problem, even if we put it that way. It's not faith because of his human essence alone. It is faith because now the human essence have been blessed with divine revelation. So we have faith in Prophet Muhammad because he is really us in our perfection. But he's more than that. He is us in our perfection with the revelation from God. With the revelation from God. So we don't have faith in a human being simply because he's true to his essence. We have faith in a human being because now he has received the guidance from God. It is not my essence that delivers me, brothers. My essence, if I remain true to my essence brings me to become worthy of God's favor. If I be true to what God has made me, and God has made me a Muslim, if I be true to my nature, to my essence that God have made, and yield my will to him, become faithful person, then God will reward that with the blessing of inspiration. And if I'm truly worthy, and if it is his will, he will bless that particular human essence with revelation. The Holy Prophet was blessed with revelation, divine guidance. We have faith in Prophet Muhammad because he is the best of us, and because now the best of us have been strengthened, the revelation of God, have been protected with the revelation of God. So don't ever say that a Muslim believes in God or have faith in God, and then next is faith in self. No. That is incorrect. In fact, that'll make us just part of the world. That's what have led the world wrong. They say, yes, we have faith in God, but faith in myself too. Who are you going to listen to? There's two gods now. Yes. Yes, I have faith in God, but faith in myself too. Okay, yourself is saying something. We should have faith in Prophet Muhammad. Because he didn't say anything except what God approved. And he didn't tell anybody to worship him. He didn't say worship me. In fact, he ordered us not to worship him. He ordered us not to worship him. He said, do not make me a figure like the Christians made the Christ. And he said that of himself, he said that I am a mortal, flesh and blood human being, like you. That's what he said, like you, speaking to people. He said, like you, meaning that he's no superhuman being. He is a common human being, not out of the human essence, in the human essence, not above the human plane, on the human plane, with all other human beings. What rises him up to the position of leadership? It is his willingness and nature to conform to the very nature that God created for human beings, and then receiving the blessings of revelation from Almighty God, which made him a prophet and a messenger to the people. You see, that's what elevates him above the human being, the other human being. But his essence, his nature is human nature. He is brother with all of us. Prophet Muhammad is our brother, as well as our leader. He's our brother, as well as the messenger of God. He's our brother too. Yes, Prophet Muhammad is our brother, because he's created by the same God. He came in the same nature. He's the same human being. He just developed. He was truer to his essence than most of us are. And he was blessed by God, to come to righteousness and complete faith, and then receive universal guidance. So faith in God, Allah. We even have to discuss the term Allah. Why? Because the Moorish Americans use the term Allah. The Ahmadi use the term Allah. The Nation of Islam in the past used the term Allah. And the name Allah meant something for them that it doesn't mean in the Quran. Is that true or not? So we even have to be careful how we use the term Allah. Oh yes, I believe in Allah. Who? Moorish American Allah? Ahmadi Allah? Because some of the Ahmadis have a different Allah. Or do you believe in Nation of Islam Allah? Or do you believe in Quran Allah? So we have to be careful, don't we? When I say we, I'm talking about the believers who follow this community, this leadership. I'm not talking about those who follow the Moorish American or Ahmadi or something else, or the old Nation of Islam. I'm talking about those who follow Imam Wallace Deen Muhammad. They have to be careful. They have to be careful to use the right term. Don't confuse the term. Don't corrupt our Quranic language with meaning from other teachings. Allah, where did that word come from? Was it created with Ghulam Ahmed, the founder of Ahmadi movement? No. His time goes back only about, 100 or so years ago. Did it come with Noble Drew Ali, the founder of Moorish American Society? No. His time goes back till about 50 years. Did it begin with Fatih Muhammad, the Nation of Islam? No. That time goes back less than 50 years. It goes back about 1,400 years ago. It was revealed to Prophet Muhammad that Allah is the proper name for the creator of the heavens and the earth, for the originator of all things, that Allah is the proper name. Had the name been used before? Yes. It was known among the Arabs before Al-Islam came to them, the name Allah. They had approximately 365 gods that they called gods, fashioned with their own imagination in their own hands. deities that they had placed in the Kaaba. But there was also existing among them the name Allah. And Allah was the mystic, mysterious God. Mysterious God. A God that they knew of, but he was like a mystery from old times. From ancient times. He wasn't a God they could visualize. But they had many they visualized. And all of those they visualized was kicked out of the Kaaba by our champion human being, Muhammad, the messenger of God. Every deity that they could visualize was kicked out of the Kaaba. And the only one that remained was the one they said they couldn't visualize. And Prophet Muhammad taught them that this is the one that made everything that you visualize. Everything that you can visualize was made by that one that you cannot visualize. Oh, man, good. This is good teaching. This is the knowledge of God that brings to life the human spirit and the human intellect. Oh, yes. Faith in Allah is number one. Faith in Allah is natural for us. Faith in Allah is the nature of his creation. It is nature to have faith in Creator. Do you remember, as members of the Nation of Islam, we used to open up every meeting with prayer that we got away from. It was a prayer that was left among us just to hint true knowledge to your mind in hopes that you'll come out of the bait religion into the real religion. But many of us didn't hear the hint. Surely I've turned myself to thee, O Allah, who originated the heavens and the earth. Now, we were taught that Prophet Muhammad didn't originate the heavens and earth. We were taught that his father, Alfonso, didn't originate the heaven and earth. We were taught that his mother, Baby G, didn't originate the heavens and the earth. And we used to pray, surely I turn myself to thee, O Allah, who originated the heavens and the earth. Aren't we home? Aren't we finally home? Finally home. Allahu Akbar. Faith in God. Faith in his messengers, all of them. We believe in the messengers of God, Rusulihi, and the messengers of God. But the messenger line was completed when the revelation was revealed in its complete form to Prophet Muhammad. So we don't have to spend all the time saying, I believe in Abraham, I believe in Moses. Although the Quran makes it very clear that every Muslim believe in these prophets, all of them. Not only them that are named in the Quran, but in the Quran Allah tells us that there are many that are not mentioned in the book. And we also have to believe in them, though we don't even know their names. But God said that there are many that are not named in the Quran, and he says believe in all of his messengers. So we have to believe in all of them. When we say we believe in Prophet Muhammad, we are saying we believe in all of them. Because he is the only one that came and established, by the light of God, he established the dignity and the validity of all the others. Did Jesus come and verify all the other prophets? No. Did Moses do it? No. It was done through Prophet Muhammad. Through Prophet Muhammad, all the other prophets were recognized and their validity was established and sealed for all time. So when we say we believe in Prophet Muhammad, dear brothers and sisters, we are saying we believe in all of God's prophets, because he is the one that guided us to believe in all of God's prophets. Oh, yes. We believe in the books that they brought. We have to believe in the kutub, the kutubihi, in the books that God gave his messengers. We didn't give the messengers those books. Can any of us give a man the Quran? No, indeed. The challenge have stayed there for 1,400 years. If that call together men and jinn, if they can produce one surah, one verse, ayah, to equal it, saying they cannot do it. And so far, the test has not been met. And we know because Allah has said it will never be met. Say, and they will not do it. They cannot do it. Another place says, if all of the trees were made into pens or pencils, and all of the seeds added to by seven more seeds, if you can take all the seeds and then double them, that's not on earth. That kind of water is not on earth. But if we could take all the seeds and then double them with another one, double, equal amount. Allah says in the Quran that the pens, all the pencils will be used up, and all the ink made from those seeds will be used up before you exhaust the knowledge that God has revealed in the Quran. Yes. So there is no knowledge like the knowledge that God reveals. And no human being can produce the knowledge that God reveals. Oh, well, how does it come then? It comes directly from God. It comes from God to his messengers, to his servants. The angel of God brings it to the messenger of God. The angel of God is a messenger himself, but not a messenger like human beings. The angel of God is another kind of medium, another kind of agent that God used to reach the mortal created being. So we also have to have faith in his angels. We are talking about the category of faith and what order Muslim faith come in. What is in that listing and what is not in that listing. Faith in Brother John is not in that listing. Faith in Allah, faith in his messengers, faith in the books that he revealed to them, faith in his angels, faith in his will that operates throughout the creation. Faith in the will of Allah, not my will, faith in the will of Allah that operates throughout creation. It is called the ordinance of God by some people. Faith in the ordinance of God. The ordinance of God is the universal law. The universal law that operates in nature. The whole nature to that order that God ordained for it. If we break that law, that universal law, then that law will give us the punishment of God. If we obey that law will give us the blessing of God. That law is a servant of God. The prophet is a servant of God. The books are the creation of God. The angels are the creation of God and the servant of God. And the law is the creation of God and the servant of God. Oh, what creates this universal law? His will, kun fayakun, be and it is. Yes. This is clear knowledge. You see how clear the guidance of God is? Now, we can refuse it, we can reject it, but we can't come up with anything like it. It will always survive, and what we have will pass out. All that we create other than what God has given us is perishable and is steadily passing away. Now, we also have to believe in Yawm al-Akhir. Yawm al-Akhir is the end, the final stage. We have to believe that there is an end to my life, to this creation, to everything. That God began it, and he will conclude it. And we have to believe in the conclusion of things as God has established that. The conclusion of life and all of these things is not the end of hope. It is the final reward of all hope that is in the faithful. Our hopes cannot be satisfied on this side. Our hopes will be satisfied completely only when we come to the conclusion of all of this scheme that we call creation. When God concludes the scheme we call creation, then God says, you will be rewarded in full, and all of your aspirations will be satisfied. There will be the fulfilling of all aspirations, or the fulfillment of all aspirations. The human being by nature comes into aspirations that we know cannot be realized in this particular existence. In this particular knowledge that we know now, and in the body and form that we are now, we know we cannot realize all of our aspirations. God has revealed to his servant, the prophet, that there will come a time when all human aspirations that are noble and right and just and pure, all of those just and pure aspirations will be fulfilled. Says there, you will get whatever you can ask for. Whatever you can ask for. Say, whatever they ask will be given to them. Is that right? I'm not talking about sinners. Sinners will ask for something that will not be there. It's talking about the God-fearing, the faithful, the righteous. Whatever they ask will be acceptable to God, and nothing will be impossible at that final station. At that final station, all human aspirations will be rewarded. Will be rewarded. The human being has in his nature a desire to break with creation, that is, with material creation. There is in our nature a desire to break with material creation. But God says, on this side, you are not permitted to break with material creation. You have to live in a material world. You have to develop yourself materially. Because this particular camping ground is the ticket for entry into the next. Is that right? But at the same time, God tells us we have to break our worship. We have to separate our desire to worship from the material creation. And worship nothing of the material creation. Worship only its creator. Is that right? So though we live in the material world and we develop and work in a material world, we still have to have a separation. And that separation is the separation of our heart. The heart has to become disattached. We have to disattach the heart from the material world. The brain, we give it to the material world. The brain has to get involved in the material world to develop it. But the heart has to be separated from the material world. This is God's teaching. This is what God has revealed. So though we stay in the world intellectually, we have to be out of the world, morally speaking, or in terms of our heart. The heart has to come out of the world. If we give our heart to the world, the heart will become materialized. The heart will become materialistic. Where is proof of this? Oh, in many places from cover to cover of the Quran. But let me go to one thing that Allah says in the Quran. He says that Allah says that he hovers between a man and his heart. God says that he himself, he hovers, means that he protects a man from himself and his heart. The man, if he doesn't have God to protect, to separate him, his intellect, from his heart, the intellect will guide the heart. And if the intellect guides the intellect will take the heart into materialism. Because the nature of the intellect is to get involved in the material world. Is this true or not? Yes. So God says to us in the Quran that he who was between the man and his heart, that God keeps the heart and the man separated. will not allow the intellect and the heart to come together. If we let God stand between us and our heart, then when the heart asks for something, we will see, is God, is it okay? May it pass by you, God. And if the heart asks the intellect to take it somewhere, they have to get God's permission. The intellect shouldn't take the heart anywhere without God's permission, and the heart shouldn't take the intellect anywhere without God's permission. God stands between the heart and the intellect. God hovers between a man and his heart. You see? So this should tell us then that the heart should not be attached to the material world. If the heart is never allowed to be attached to the material world, to the created thing, then the heart has its protection and the intellect has its protection. Because the intellect is influenced by the heart as the heart is influenced by the intellect. These two things are weak for each other, like a male is for a female and a female is for a male. Isn't that something? And it's true. Yes, the intellect and the heart, they are weak for each other, just like the male is for the female and the female is for the male. We have seen many females corrupt males, and we have seen many males corrupt females. Yes. Faith in God is number one. Faith in his messengers, faith in the books that they brought from God, faith in his angels, faith in the ordinance of God, that law that operates to reward us and to punish us. Faith in the ordinance of God and faith in the Yawm al-Akhir, faith in the conclusion of all of this great scheme we call creation. It has not been created for nothing. It has been created for a purpose. It is not evolving just to live and die like we do. It evolves to bring home a higher life. Yes. Look at night and day. Night and day, aren't they part of one thing? Night and day are part of one thing. The night is needed for rest, and the day is needed for work. So they are part of one thing, aren't they? Then shouldn't life and death be part of one thing? This is the comparison that God has given us in the scripture. If night and day are part of one thing, if night and day are really one function, they make up one function. The function is human progress, our human life. Human life needs rest, and human life needs activity. God has given us the night for rest and the day for activity. The night for rejuvenation and the day for production. Is that right? The night for rejuvenation and the day for production. Isn't this one exercise we call life? Then shouldn't also death, life and death be one operation we call life? So even death should be life. So why you say there's no life after death? Death itself is part of a life operation. So they both should evolve us into a higher life. Yes. So God has given us these comparisons. And he really wants us to see our ignorance in trying to come up with comparisons on our own. What kind of stupid people make parables for God? And he the one who created the concept out of which you will get your parable. Yes, you can't get a parable unless you go to his creation. Yes, they create parables for God. He has created the parables. He has given us the parables. And his parables bring us into light. Our comparisons and parables bring us into darkness. So we believe in the conclusion of things, and we are not fatalists who believe that life is fated to misery, life is fated to doom, to destruction, that I can't achieve because this has been fated. No, God say the way is open. The way is open. And he has created each human being to grow. He has not created you to be fated in death, fated in idleness, or fated in ignorance. No, he has created you to grow. That means your fate is not in idleness. Your faith is not in sterileness, sterility. Your faith is not in stagnation. Oh, I'm here, I can't do anything, buddy, ma'am. I can't get a job. I can't seem to put my mind to studying. I can't improve myself. God say he have created you to grow. And you are saying that God is wrong, that you have been fated to stay stagnant. No. Allah say that he has created us to grow. So we don't believe in fatalism. We believe in progress. Progress. The Muslim believe that the life must progress. It must evolve higher and higher and make greater and greater achievements, greater and greater progress. Let us go back now and conclude this part of the khutbah on faith. People who say faith in God and faith in self, they are either knowingly breaking with our religion. When I say knowingly breaking, I mean they know what our religion establishes and they are knowingly breaking with what is established and setting up their own religion. Or they are doing it in ignorance, out of habit. Some people do things out of habit. The knowledge has changed, but the habit is still with them. They haven't seen yet that the habit is wrong. Now, I don't believe that our imam is separated from our religion. I believe that the imam who said this last week, he is said it out of habit. That first is faith in God, and next is faith in self. Whatever we say, brothers and sisters, it must be verified by Quran and Hadith. And there is no way to verify what he said by Quran or Hadith. It is not faith in self, God, and then faith in self. It's faith in God, then faith in his messengers, then faith in their books, the books they brought, and faith in his angels, and faith in his ordinance that worked to reward and punish us, and faith in the last day. That's the faith. Allah tells us that we are to believe in al-ghayb. Al-ghayb. Al-ghayb means what God has promised, but you have not yet realized it. What is not yet realized. Where should that belief come? It should come in al-akhir. Because al-akhir is the fulfillment of all of the ghayb. All of the things that are not yet known, God has said they will become known when? Yawm al-akhir, the last day. Why do I spend all this time talking on this with you? There are other audiences that I wouldn't spend this time with. It wouldn't be necessary. But we have evolved like a butterfly from a caterpillar existence. We used to be worms of materialism. We used to like to crawl on the dirt, walk on the limbs of the plants and the trees. And we didn't eat anything that had in it reproduction. We believed in no reproduction. That is, we believed in no hereafter except in this material world. You remember this time, don't you? Yeah. We thought once we die physically, that's the end. So no matter how much evil we did, once physical death took us, we know we wasn't going to get any more punishment. So we were really materialists, atheists, calling ourselves believers in God. But at the same time, we had the mind of a spiritualist. We had the mind of a religious people. And God blessed that with the true religion. Isn't that wonderful? That God did not judge us for our atheistic ignorance, but he rewarded us for our heart nature. The heart nature was to believe in God. The heart was given to God. The heart was given to righteousness, purity, and spiritual life. God didn't condemn the intellect for giving itself to atheistic belief.
Brother, I'm telling you, the signs that people look for are right here in us. God says matters are judged by intention. You can get off the track, but if you're ignorant, God will not punish you for it. Matters are judged by intention. Were you intentionally, knowingly, wishing up an atheistic concept, a material concept, and rejecting your originator? Were you knowingly doing that? No, we were fascinated, God. We had become infatuated and fascinated by a fantastic story, Yaqub's history. And we couldn't see reality, God, for looking at fantasy. God say, I know it. I won't punish you for your intellect failure. I want to reward you for your goodness of heart. Now, who is the TC man? A member from the time of atheistic teaching. The son of the preacher of materialism. The son of Elijah Muhammad. The preacher of racism, black nationalism, black supremacy, materialism. The son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad have been rewarded because of the heart of the people. Not only his heart, but the heart of the people have been rewarded, and he's made an imam now in the Sunni path of the universal Prophet Muhammad. Yes. This is the blessing, brothers and sisters. This is a blessing. And I don't want you to be ignorant of your share in the blessing. Willpower. Those who would like to escape the justice and avoid worship of God, they try to make man a manifestation of God. They try to make God a growing thing instead of an infinite, perfect being. They make him an imperfect being that grows from inferiority into supremacy. Isn't this true?
Yes.
They say God originates with the creation and that he evolves with the creation. And the manifestation of God is the man, the human being. Is the creation without the human being superior to the human being? If they say God evolved out of the stars, the moon, the sun, the earth, is this earth my servant or am I his master? Does this earth rule me or do I rule the earth? If God evolved out of material world, why should we say mind over matter? And if matter was needed to evolve mind, why should we say mind over matter? There should be matter over mind. If mind couldn't get here without matter evolving it, then there should be matter over mind. Is that right? Now, if these things have been in a contest with each other, if matter and mind have been in a contest with each other, then let's see our matter and mind separated. Mind has evolved out of matter. Mind evolved out of matter is no more than a higher expression of matter. Is that right? Mind evolved out of matter is no more than a higher expression of matter. Men that have that concept, they fall victim to the powers of matter. We're just reasoning now. Men that believe that mind is a product of matter, they fall victim to matter. They serve matter, they make matter their superior. The communist people make matter their superior. They say the human being shouldn't design his own life. Matter should design his life. They say that man should be governed by the dialectics of matter. Is that right? So they place man under matter because they see matter evolving man. Is that right? Now, let us look again. If man believing this way falls under matter, and we know man believing in God rises above matter, then who is really the God? Who is really the reality? Is it matter? No, it's not matter. Is it mind? No, it's not mind. The reality is that invisible that man believes in, that he can't visualize, that he believes in, that he believes is before matter, after matter, above matter, independent of matter. When man becomes a believer in that concept of God, when he sees God as being before matter, after matter, above matter, and separated from matter, when he comes into that kind of belief, he rises above matter. Yes. Not only is he lifted above matter, he's lifted above mind. Isn't it matter and mind that take us down? It is not only matter that takes us down, it's matter and mind that take us down. If matter doesn't take us down, the mind takes us down. When the man gives his mind to matter, the matter holds him. When the man gives his mind to his mind, the mind takes him down. Isn't that a fact? Yes. The matter holds you down, the mind takes you down. Isn't it a fact? We're talking facts. Matter holds you down, mind takes you down. There's something that lifts you up above matter and mind. That's the originator who's not matter and who's not mind. Allah is not matter and Allah is not mind. Therefore, Allah can lift us up above matter and mind. And when we are lifted up above matter and mind, we have a chance to get a new mind and a new matter. Woo, brother! That is the blessing. Yes. So I'm not speaking to you just from belief. I'm speaking to you from experience. As the Christians say in the church, I have been born again. Brother, I have been born again. And I know that Allah has saved me from my own logic. My own logic was holding me down, was keeping me going to the material thing, looking for answers. But Allah saved me from my own logic when I put my faith in originator, who's not in the confines of the material world and the logic of it, of the material world. Then I was lifted above the matter and above my logic. So don't be deceived. Yesterday is baby day. Don't go back in the crib for manhood. Keep walking forward to the promised land. You know, just for a concluding word on the angels, some of us don't understand angels. If we understood angels, I think we'd be more comfortable in our faith. When you come into the language of Islam, you're told that angel is not human. That's true. You're told that angel have no sex. That's true. Angel has no intellect. No independent mind. They don't have no freedom of thought. No freedom of thought. That's true. But if you think that angel cannot come like I am, you're wrong. An angel can come just like I am. Flesh and blood. Just like I am. Flesh and blood. Sex and intellect. Just like I am. An angel can come just like this. But at that time, the angel is unseen. You see the flesh and blood, but you don't see the angel. You see the body, the flesh and blood, and you feel them. Having the angels come according to scripture, they feel me. In every respect, it was a human being. The angel that came to Mary. The Quran says that in every respect, it looked like a human being. It was a model to the eyes of Maryam, the mother of Jesus. Is that right? Yes. Now, Prophet Muhammad was given a lecture once, and an angel was sitting in the company of the listener. And the angel looked in every respect to be a man. And the angel asked Prophet Muhammad questions. So the angel could talk. The angel was intelligent. It could ask questions. The angel talked, the angel asked intelligent questions. And the angel could hear, because the angel received the answers and verified that the answers were correct. Are we ready to... Woo! Yes! If God wants to make an angel, he makes an angel. He creates an angel, and he's the one that sends an angel on his mission. Dear people, many human beings are used as vessels for an angel. At the time, they themselves might not know that they're being used as a vessel for the angel. God has powers above our imagination. It is not within our human grasp to understand fully all of the workings of God. If it was, we would be equal to God. Yes. We are created beings of great dignity and station, but we are still created beings, and we cannot conceive all of the wonders of creation, and we cannot conceive what is the totality we call God. That's beyond our grasp. That's why the human being's salvation depends upon faith. Depends upon faith. Because we are going to run out of knowledge. And only faith can carry you further. You see? That's why the whole future of society, human society, depends upon faith and trust. Go among any society, and if you find people with no faith in God, most likely they don't have faith in themselves, they don't have faith in their leaders, they don't have faith in their government, they have faith in nothing. So they are either a slave society or an anarchic society. You look at the world and tell me if that pitch is true or not. Everywhere I've gone, if people didn't have a genuine belief in God, if the faith in God was not genuine, they were either slaves or they were a very anarchic society. America is an anarchic society. We believe in fighting each other. We believe in contesting authority. We believe in contesting everything. Everything must be contested. We believe that nobody has the right to discipline me or to tell me how I should live or how I should think or where I should go. We are anarchic society. Go to the hardcore communist society and you find them, they are an enslaved society. They are nothing but slaves. Don't listen to anybody else. I've been there. They are slaves. They cannot execute their will. They live constantly under fear. Constantly under fear. They are regimented just like parts in a machine. Telling you what I saw with my own eyes. I've been to two communist countries, two established communist countries. And in both of these countries, the people were under fear and they were regimented like slaves. They didn't like the way they had to live. They wanted to live differently, but they were forced to. The laws against it. That their behavior is under law. Even their aspirations are under law. They can't even dream or aspire for nothing different. If they act on it, they will be persecuted and maybe executed. So there are only two kinds of society that you can have without faith in God. Slaves or wild demons. The communist world have slaves, we have wild demons. Yes, it's true. So we want faith in Allah. That's the only salvation. In the great blast of the horn of Imam Elijah Muhammad came many notes, many hints, many messages. He said, the Bible is a graveyard of my people. He said, Islam is their salvation. That's what he said. There are those who still want to favor the Bible over the Holy Quran. Well, we ain't ready for the Quran. The Bible is where we should be. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was in the Bible to show you that the Bible was not the place for you. He said, the Bible is the graveyard of my people. And he said that Islam is their salvation. Now, if someone can do me a favor, just for a quick minute, only take a minute, and go back and look in the office with Brother Abdel. Brother Abdel, is he here to do it? And bring me that cardboard with the pictures of the, showing the front page of the paper, early paper, Final Call. Bring it to me. I'm going to show you back in the early history of this community, there were falsehoods, but there was a hint to go in the right direction. Don't you know the religion was persecuted, suppressed in this country? Don't you know if anyone tried to preach through Islam, at Islam properly, in this country, that person, if he was a foreigner, he was immediately arrested? And if he didn't accept to stop that preaching, he was deported. So a certain teacher didn't care about what he did in the present. He was just working for results in the present for the particular scheme that he had. Now the future, he left it to the will of God and to good influences. But he left a lot of good influences that would help get you into the proper future. Here I have the cover of two issues of a paper put out in 1934, August 25th, this copy, 1934, and August 18th, the preceding copy, same year, 1934. This is August 1934. This is about 3 years after the appearance of Farid Muhammad among the African Americans of Detroit, Chicago, and Chicago. If you could see this picture up close, you will see the picture of many men, all dressed in suits and ties, with white shirts. Not a one on here with a colored shirt. All of them got on white shirts. Why? White shirt makes you think you're somebody if you're not. And especially if you put a tie on with it, and then put a coat over it. If you got a suit on and a tie and a white shirt, you feel like somebody even when you're not. That's why on one day of the week, everybody in America could wear this suit. It was on the day that is not business day. Sunday is not business day. So on Sunday, all the people can wear suits, white shirts and ties. But now if you're caught in the work day, during the work day, dressed up like this, and the man look at you, and he don't think you're supposed to be wearing it, he might come up to you and search you with all of your suit and white shirt and tie on. You have, there ain't no suspicion, you're not suspect, nothing. Your only suspicion is that you're dressed like the business people that's got something, and you don't look like them. So he tell you, get out the car, get out the car. Lean up there, put your hands up there. Say, why, mister, I haven't done anything. Are you resisting arrest? You're being insubordinate. Are you refusing to be searched? You might go with a lot of hickeys to the jail, right? I know this has happened, I've seen it happen to people. They were stopped for no other reason than that they looked prosperous. They were dressed like business people, and they didn't look like they should have what was showing on their in their dress. So they were stopped, they were questioned, they were shaken down, and sometimes taken to jail. Yes. So this man was clever with his psychology. He knew that people feel new identity just in a dress. And he wanted you to grow into the feeling of a new person. He didn't want you to identify no more with the slave mentality. So he put you in a business suit. Whole community of men were put in business suits. Every male had to wear suits, shirt and tie. I remember the time when you could get by with a jacket that wasn't matching your pants. Pretty soon that was stopped. Your jacket had to match your pants. Is that right? Powerful psychology. But there's something on their head that you can't see from there. They are wearing fez. They are wearing what looks like the Shriners and Moorish American fez. It is also called the Moroccan fez. The Moroccan fez. It is a wine color, a deep wine color fez with a black tassel hanging behind. On the front of this fez is the crescent, moon and star. If you could see these men, you'd see them all wearing this. Now, this is 1934. I'm not going to hold you too much longer. But this is important. Let me read to you what it says. The savior of we, 17 million in the wilderness of North America. That's what it says here. Right up here, in this part. Over the heads of these men. These men are the fruit of Islam in the old Nation of Islam. 1934. This is Detroit, Michigan paper. August 1934. Under the picture of Farid Muhammad, that you call W.D. Farad, Farad Muhammad, different name, is the writing Prophet W.D. Farad. Right under his picture is written W. Prophet W.D. Farad. Now, right here it says, Prophet Farad Muhammad is our deliverer. Here it says, Prophet Farad Muhammad is our deliverer. Under his picture it says, Prophet W.D. Farad. Under his picture, his last name is Farad. In this statement, his last name is Muhammad. I'm going to read the caption here and here. The final call to Islam. Is this a call to Islam? No. No. When you call somebody to believe in Yaqub history and believe that they are black gods, you are not calling them to Islam. When you call somebody to believe that this man is a prophet, you are not calling them to Islam. So what he was doing was not calling the people to Islam. But obviously his intention was to call them to Islam because he used the word call to Islam. And didn't your leader, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, your leader and my leader in those times, didn't he say that he told me to get them at any cost? You've heard that more than once. And didn't he also tell you that we are fishing? He say we put an attractive bait on the hook. Bait is something to attract you. Hook is something to catch you. If I say I hooked you, does that mean I was honest? To hook somebody is to be deceitful. To bait and hook is double cross. That's double deception. Because if you take a hook, maybe you can snag them and bring them in, right? But the hook is not enough. You have to bait it too. Now look at a hook. A hook is designed to go in, but to hurt you when it comes out. The fishing hook is made so it go in the fish easy. But if the fish try to bring it out, it just, oh, it hurts. So painful trying to come out. What you were taught that made you think yourself to be superior, black and supreme, doesn't it hurt coming out? There's a hook. Didn't it go in easy? Went in so easy that you didn't know you were being stuck. And somebody say, I got to take the hook out. Oh my goodness, please be careful. Please be careful. You gonna pull that hook out? How you gonna do it? How you get that hook in you anyway? That was an attractive bait on it. Plenty of money, good home, friendship in all walks of life.
You've been listening to Mujaddid Wallace Dean Muhammad. Tune in next week at this same time over this special network of stations for Mujaddid Wallace Dean Muhammad.